Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
So we got a lot of important things to talk about. Aaron Rodgers, Monday Night Football last night, baseball playoffs, NBA season starts tonight. Yeah, I know you didn't know that. We got all that going on. Adam Schefter will be by. Plenty of prize packages to give away here on the show, including your chance to hang out with Golic and Wingo in Bristol, Connecticut. $50 gift card from Amazon. And Pete and I are playing poker at the dog track. But stop all that for just a moment. Did I hear you correctly? Because we got a new Krispy Kreme here in town. I'm very excited about that. The guy that waited all night gets a free box every week for a year? That was the deal?
52 yeah. weeks, 52 boxes of, I believe they're glazed donuts, which are, they are their best donuts.
That's their original. That's what they used to have.
It's their best donut.
Wow. All right, no, so man, this...
I just had one in the other room. I had half of one that was a lemon cream. It was... quite tasty.
We got like four, five, six boxes of them out there in the other room, and they were like a box and a half left by the time I got here. And there were several boxes already emptied and in the trash and just destroyed. You know, free donuts for a radio station. I mean, that's just like, you know, that food's gonna be gone fast. So yeah, Krispy Kreme is awesome. I don't know how long Krispy Kreme has been around for. As a business, I remember them when I lived in Charleston, South Carolina, like 25 years ago.
They were strictly like South.
Within the Carolinas? Is that where they started?
Yeah.
And they are like way better. Sorry, Dunkin' Donuts. They're way better than you. These things just melt in your mouth. They're awesome. I just love them.
Krispy Kreme, the first one opened July 13, 1937.
Oh, wow.
That's a strange time to open up a new business, right?
Yeah, off the Depression.
Right after Depression, yeah.
Yeah, coming straight off the back of that. Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
So they are North Carolina.
Yep. Home of Wake Forest.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, they are delicious.
Just imagine Arnold Palmer walking in, asking for a...
A box, fresh off. Wow. Arnie's Army. You know what? It is Arnie's Army. When they got the light on, for those that don't know, you can get Krispy Kreme any time of day. They're open. They got their drive-through. But the best time, they got a light on outside the building that lets you know they're hot, piping hot, coming off the oven or whatever the donut thing is.
The belt.
With the glaze dripping over them.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh,
it's so good. You just plant yourself underneath, just your mouth open to thump, thump, thump.
It's a tradition unlike any other. I get a box the Sunday of the Masters every year.
They got one right outside.
They got
Augusta.
One right. It's maybe a mile and a half from the front gate of Augusta National.
You ever see Phil Mickelson in a drive-thru on his way to the clubhouse stopping at Krispy Kreme?
Coolest thing I saw is I saw Bubba Watson at a Moe's one time.
At a Moe's?
Yeah, that was
okay.
That was cool.
How about that?
Really?
Wow. Well, it's Bubba.
I mean, it had nothing to do with that conversation, but
no. All right, enough of the free commercial for Krispy Kreme. We got a lot going on. I watched some Monday Night Football. By the way, hello, Pete Shepherd. Hi, how are you? I didn't say hello like I normally tradition.
Yeah,
a tradition like no other.
You're rude Midwestern tone.
Where I introduce you at the beginning of the show.
Yep.
It's my partner in crime.
Pissed off that Lions and Dolphins won't be showing this market, which we'll get to.
You ruined my day. I just got my Krispy Kreme, and I'm feeling delightful. The endomorphins or whatever are buzzing. I'm feeling good, and I get a text.
Endorphins.
Yeah,
endorphins.
Thank you. What did I call them?
Dopamine.
Endomorphins.
Is that a bad thing?
That means you're a mutant.
Did I just make that up?
That's a nothing.
That's not a word. That's not a word.
Professor Xavier wants to see you.
Okay. So anyway, I'm feeling good and getting ready for my sugar crash after eating the Krispy Kreme donut. And I get the text from you, the voice of doom.
My voice of reality.
I was hopeful that my Lions and Chris's Dolphins would be on TV in this local market because between the three of us who have
75 years of radio experience between the three of us, we can't figure out if we are truly a Buccaneers market or a Dolphins market because it's all screwy this year. And I was holding out hope
seems
that
like
I'd be able to see
the Patriots market to me.
It seems like every single page, stupid Patriots game has been on TV in this market for some unknown reason. And yep. I can't figure out if we're a Dolphins market or a Bucs market.
Well, here's the thing. And Fox this week, and this is at least this week. Now, this changed before, so I don't know. Maybe it changes again. The CBS game is at 1 o'clock. It's Patriots at the Bears. You can understand that. But the Fox, both games, Miami-Detroit and Tampa Bay-Cleveland, this is not one of those flex situations. Actually, it is. Cleveland would normally be a CBS game.
Yes.
But like Miami early in the season when Fox bumped Tampa Bay, for whatever reason, the Fox local affiliate is picking up Cleveland at Tampa Bay 1 o'clock this Sunday. Miami and Detroit, and I just found out, really, is only being seen in 6% of the country, Ooh. Only in downtown Miami and only in downtown Detroit. So if you're a Dick Stockton and Mark Schlereth fan, you're going to have to go out to a local sports bar and check it out there. Only
Are they both 1 o'clock games?
Yeah, they're both 1 o'clock games. 6% of the country. And I have mixed emotions about it because from this show's standpoint, I want to see Miami and Detroit because it affects our show.
Brock-tober.
Plus, Miami's 4-2. It's not like the Dolphins are 0-6 or Detroit's not fun to watch. They're right in the, both teams in the thick of things.
Yeah.
In their respective divisions. And then they have the 4 o'clock game is Dallas and Washington. But they have decided to – they chose this, at least for now, Tampa Bay-Cleveland as opposed to Detroit-Miami. Usually the road team is the one that gets the affiliate. So Detroit is at Miami, so that's why it would be a Fox game because it's an NFC game. Cleveland at Miami would normally be a CBS game.
Tampa.
I mean, Cleveland-Tampa would normally be a CBS game since the Browns
because
the are
AFC the – AFC visitors. Yes.
The visitors, but it's a Fox game instead. And this is not one of those times where Patriots Bears bumped off the Dolphins or anything like that. It has nothing to do with that.
This is an outrage. Who do I need to call?
I don't know.
Who do we need to call? I am a powerful radio voice in Southwest Florida. Who do I need to call over to TV stations here in town and straighten things out? This is stupid and outrageous. I'm very upset.
I don't know. All I know is I don't have to go out again.
I guess it's me in the Red Sunday. Zone channel.
Yeah, 396, is it?
Do you really want to know who to contact?
Yeah, let's call him on the air.
Okay.
Let's dial him up.
Well, again, maybe, you know, they bumped Tampa Bay the last couple of weeks. Maybe the backlash, maybe the sponsors involved. I mean, that's what it's all about.
So who are we going to harass, the CBS guy or the Fox guy?
It's the Fox.
Who do I have the beef
it's
with?
It's the Fox.
It's the Fox. Okay. They decided
I'm not
going to
give out his name.
No, but they decided to go with Tampa Bay.
Well, no. Is there a contact? Is there an email? Is there something? All of our listeners, all of our Dolphin fans should send an email to this guy. What's the email?
We really doing this?
Hey, wait, 239 says, how do we hear the game? No, the game on radio will be on our sister station, 96.1 K-Rock.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about the radio.
You don't have to worry about the radio.
We got you covered.
We got you covered there. Yeah. Dolphins are over there. Tampa Bay's here.
Bump the Bucks, so everybody has to listen to us. Right?
Yeah, fact.
Yeah.
All right, how is this any different than giving your congressman's phone number or email to complain for people to write
I just
in?
Would be upset if this happened to me. As a program director,
yes.
I wouldn't like this if...
Right.
Television station X
right.
went and did this to me.
Guess what? It's your job.
I got a message from my buddy Jack. He said, just drove by Krispy Kreme. Police blocking road as drive-thru is 2 blocks long on Tamiami.
I'm telling you, it's unbelievable.
Oh, sleepy Southwest Florida, huh? We are a major metropolitan area, baby. We got ourselves a Krispy Kreme directing traffic up and down Tamiami Trail. I love it. It's great.
239 says, meaning 99.3, how do we hear the speech online? The app, no, you can't stream NFL games online, so you can't hear it through the app or on your computer or anything like that. So you got to listen to 96.1 K-Rock for the Dolphins and right here, 99.3 ESPN for
right.
Tampa Bay.
The FM signal only.
Yes.
You are not allowed to stream NFL games.
No.
Right. Nobody.
That's
nobody. It's not like a, it's not like a local right. thing.
And even Major League Baseball, the only team that is allowed to do it is in the particular market and the particular flagship station for the team.
All right. Chris, I'm sensing your apprehension about giving out this guy's contact information.
Oh, I'm glad you could sense that.
Maybe we should put it on the poll whether Chris should give this information out on the,
well, remember,
by the end of the show.
And I don't know his name. I understand what the guy's coming. He said last time.
It's a tough spot to be in.
They bumped Tampa Bay. Philadelphia, what's it, Tampa Bay, Philadelphia? Who'd they bump? They bumped Tampa Bay for Green Bay and Minnesota.
Yes.
Well, then just last week, they bumped Tampa Bay for Miami.
So now they feel bad. They feel like they got to get a Tampa Bay game in. So screw the Dolphins fan this weekend.
Exactly. Makes sense.
Or maybe, there's just a little lack of respect for the legendary Brock Osweiler and his abilities to beat the Detroit Lions.
It's Brocktober. And do you know how many Michigan people live down here, for crying out loud? Unbelievable.
Not as many as Ohio.
More Ohio people are down here.
Okay, as I was saying, the word.
Ohioans? Ohites?
Ohioans.
Ohioites.
As the words were coming out of my mouth, I realized my thing was flawed.
You're an anti-Buckeye.
Devontae Freeman injured reserve. He gone.
Yeah, what else is new?
Moving from your fantasy football team, everybody. Let's go to the phones. 239-337-ESPN. John in Fort Myers. You're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. How are you today?
Gentlemen, I'm good. How are you?
Good, John. What's How up? Are you?
First of all, anti-Buckeye, really?
It's a Seinfeld thing.
No, I didn't call about that at all, but that was just the last thing I heard before I got called on. Okay. I could not say that. Okay, anyway. So, Chris, I get it. I'm a Dolphin fan. I've been a Dolphin fan for my life.
Fins up.
I'm with you, but everyone else in the show isn't. And it bothers me that now, today, is when they're making some kind of remarks about the Dolphin game not being on the air. Now, I have to question, are they mad because it's going to be on their sister station? So that's where the ratings are going to go.
No,
we're not mad John, at that.
John, we're not John, mad you got to dig a little deeper than that. Yeah. I'm a native Detroiter. That's really where my ire is coming from.
I'm a neutral observer, but John, for the purposes of this show, I would like to see the Dolphins and Miami being shown here. I think they're doing it because they had a bump. Seriously, I think they did it because they had to bump the Bucs twice, and this is one of those games. They bumped the Bucs twice because there was a conflict with the Dolphins, and they flexed one game out already in favor of Miami and didn't show Tampa Bay. And this week, Cleveland at Tampa Bay would normally be a CBS game because the road team gets the network, but that's been flexed for some reason.
I do get why, but I'm a little annoyed because it should be, at the end of the day, your local market. So the Bucs and the Dolphins should both be on AFC, NFC, in a story. Mm-hmm. I might be naive on that, but
I agree with you. I think that's how it should be.
It's just a weird it's a weird TV thing.
Thanks, John.
Only 6%, only downtown Miami and downtown Detroit are getting that game. So for whatever reason, this on Fox's list is last. Last. It's the last. It's the least. It's got the lowest percentage being sent around the country.
It's 6%. Because it's the Dolphins and the Lions. Like, honestly, both teams.
But you're 4-2.
Both teams are good.
Hold on. Listen to my point before you jump down my throat. Jeez, I was going to say both teams could be 10-6. Their fan bases still wouldn't believe in the team, and the national football fan still wouldn't believe in their team. That's why.
Maybe you're right.
It probably somewhere along the way it comes down to money. And they could have a sponsorship from a car dealership or somebody that's a Bucs fan, or vice versa. One week was more of a Packer fan.
That never happens.
Wait a minute.
Never influenced by money.
I happen to have good insider information that a major advertiser / car dealer is a Dolphins fan, okay?
At least going to the Dolphins game.
He's going.
I know that.
Yeah. I have insider information on that deal.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. All right, so last night on Monday Night Football, the Packers beat the lowly 49ers despite Mike McCarthy's coaching and despite Aaron Rodgers playing through another bad knee. I have one bone to pick with Mike McCarthy from last night's game.
Only one?
The one that stood out that was the most egregious. About 8 minutes to go, they're down by 7. He's right there for a field goal. It's fourth down. Decides to go for it. I thought it was way too early to go for it. They don't get it. They come up empty and then later tie the game with a beautiful touchdown pass by Aaron Rodgers. And then luckily, due to a stupid turnover by the 49ers, they got the ball again and got a chance for Mason Crosby to kick the game-winning field goal. So Mike McCarthy's boneheadedness and his decision-making will go unnoticed because he got the win, and that's what's important. Mm-hmm. But, boy, did he luck out last night.
No, he absolutely did. And thank God they had Aaron Rodgers. On the other hand, the 49ers and their coaching towards the end, when you know they have no timeouts left, how do you not guard in the sidelines? You know that's all they can do.
Yeah.
Let them catch the ball in the middle of the field. Who cares? As long as, you know, without stating the obvious of a 90-yard
You better
bomb
guard him tightly because you got the most accurate passer. Yeah. It was just dropping beautiful passes all the
time. It's terrific.
And here's the other thing.
Where would they be without him?
And Aaron Rodgers, late in the game, gets sacked, comes up limping on the knee. Next play, scrambles for 21 yards with no limp. How does that happen? He's faking it.
It's called poker face, my friend. Lure
speaking
them
of which,
in.
Yeah, speaking of which, we're playing poker tonight out at the...
By the way, the 49ers...
Dog track.
Another game, no takeaways. They are an NFL worst minus 11. They've generated a league low 3 takeaways, which had been, it's the fewest total for the franchise after 5 games since 1977.
So the 49ers, as bad as they are, their record is 1-5.
Yes, it is.
Their one win is against
Detroit.
The Lions.
Thank you.
On a bad call.
Yeah, it happens.
That was a bad call.
It happens.
It was a bad call. So before I forget.
Yes.
So you can't make this stuff up, right?
Yeah.
If I were to say, I played golf this morning. So if I ever said to you, you know, Pete, a rabbi, and a pastor walk up to a tee box. I mean, you would think that's the start of a great joke.
It's a joke.
Yeah. It starts of a great, but no, it was not a great joke. It was actually a pleasure. Played with Reverend Pastor Dr. Dan, who I found out after the first hole. Dr. Dan recognized my voice and loves the show. It's called in before. Is the pastor, doctor that married young Chris over there in the other room and Samantha. It was fantastic. And then
he's been on the show before.
And Rabbi Michael was outstanding as well. Just two fine gentlemen. And another guy I just met, Brian, that I hadn't met, who's a UPS driver in the local area. And it was very nice to play with all three of them. Had a nice time. Really nice time.
That's good.
And I heard all of, you know, you're not supposed to reveal sins, but I heard all. I texted Chris this morning. I said, I'm hearing all about your sins in the past.
That's good.
But that was
so.
A great
time. I get you're out there.
Yep.
The pastor and the rabbi, they do most of their work on the weekends. Why was it the UPS guy out delivering packages?
He
today?
Works over. He actually works overnight.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. All yeah, right. But that's funny because this is their busy season, and their phone rang, both of them, more than a few times.
Really?
With brides and questions. And
did they took the calls?
Yeah, they had. You got to. You can't.
You got to carve out 3 hours for yourself when you don't answer the phones, unless it's God calling.
Yeah, because a bride-to-be would totally understand that you're golfing, and that's why you couldn't take her call.
It was total bridezilla.
That'll go over smoothly.
Calling the pastor or the rabbi during golf.
Yeah, Rebecca? Uh-huh. Yeah. No, I was on... I was on the 8th tee. Yeah, I'm free now. That doesn't go well.
No.
Nobody wins in that situation.
No.
Oh, man.
Nobody.
They were great to play with, though.
What'd you shoot?
I shot a 91 today.
And that's about right.
Yeah, I just wasn't. Yeah,
I think that's pretty good. Chris is that's about
mocking.
Right. Yeah, mocking the 91.
No, I mean, it's good for me. I could have, I'm at the point now, if I'm not breaking 90, I'm not happy. I had about 4 or 5 shots that I was just... Lack of concentration. Stupid.
That's what it comes down to.
Were either of your wives bridezillas getting ready for the deal?
No, not in my wife. Just the opposite. No,
mine was cool.
Because we were in Jamaica, so it's hard to get mad in Jamaica.
Chris is late to answer. Maybe we should
Dominican,
just,
I should. Dominican.
Maybe we should
I
just
would say
on.
Bridezilla, Dominican. Because bridezilla, I think, carries...
You make other people's lives miserable if you're a bridezilla, right?
Right. I mean, she just made my life miserable.
Really? Like, what was the problem? I imagine you just being a guy just showing up at a tux.
You have no say
well,
in anything.
Well, that's what I wanted to do.
Right.
No.
We've
you
had
have,
this before. Because if you say yes, if you yes them to death, then you're being condescending.
Right.
You're patronizing.
And
if you disagree, even though
they're why do you disagree?
Why do you disagree? Well, you ask me for my input. No, you don't want my input.
And John in Fort Myers, hang on. I'm going to get to your phone call.
I said I want my voice to be heard in one part of the process. I don't care about anything. The cake tasting.
Okay.
I want to pick out the cake.
Okay.
Guess how much of my input she listened to me on the cake.
Zero.
Bupkis.
What did you want?
I wanted a vanilla cake with the chocolate frosting.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Apparently, that doesn't scream wedding.
No, you got to have a white frosting for a wedding. Right? That's what she wanted, I bet.
Exactly. So we had a lemon cake with like
lemon?
A...
Lemon?
Yeah.
That's yellow.
You could have chocolate
terrible.
Layered in there.
It was terrible. No.
No chocolate? No layered in there at all?
Nope. No chocolate.
I picked out the silverware of our the whatever.
You had to pick out silverware, huh? The place didn't just provide you, these are our forks?
No, for our registry, for our gifts. You know, usually when you get married young, the first thing on the registry is like china once a year.
Yeah, so there's a, yeah.
I picked out the forks and the knives and the, because they were lined in gold and I thought they were fancy.
Do you still have them?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's nice.
I'll be breaking them out next month for
Wait, so you have formal silverware and everyday silverware?
Yes.
Wow, I don't. I just have everyday and formal. I've never hosted a formal event at our house.
Neither
but,
really. I mean, you know, Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner once in a while. Yep. We dust them off. Yeah, I've got formal set and very informal. Hell, I still have SpongeBob cups in my cabinet right now from when my kids were small. I mean, I got the informal stuff too.
Nothing like drinking wine out of a sippy cup, right?
Well, we had a story while you were gone last week. I think there was an Ohio State mom that took her little toddler to a movie theater and put her booze in the kid's sippy cup. Got wasted because she also took a Xanax and she couldn't take care of the kid who started crying in the movie theater and she couldn't walk anymore, let alone take care of anybody. She got arrested.
Classic.
She was wearing a Buckeye shirt.
Yep.
There we go.
239 says, just wondering if you're allowed to cuss while golf with Pastor Rabbi. I did not today.
Did you mind your P's and Q's?
I minded my P's and Q's. And in the cart with Brian, I had one little episode, but I didn't scream. I was whispering to myself and my stupidity. I thought it was very good. I might have had one, damn it. That's about it. I was a gosh darn it guy today.
They didn't swear, did they?
410 texting in, Maryland native, my wedding. I wasn't allowed any say, the exception of the appetizers. He chose crab cakes. I think if you're getting married in Maryland, that is a very appropriate. It's a good appetizer anywhere.
It's pretty good.
I like this. The gourmet cupcakes are the thing now at weddings. We did that at mine. There were 5 different flavors for people to choose from.
That's strong.
It seems a cheap way out. You're just putting cupcakes out instead of slicing cakes. And,
it is an expensive cake.
Yeah.
You're getting into the hundreds of dollars.
It's about a $500 deal to get a good wedding cake, right?
Absolutely.
Cupcakes seem like Aunt Betty could just make those and put those out.
The little aluminum wrapping on the outside.
Exactly.
My first marriage way back in the day, a friend of mine, she brought... In addition to the cake, she made a gigantic cake out of ringdings. It was hysterical. That went over better than the regular cake.
Really?
It's a ringding, like a ding-dong?
Like a ding-dong? Like Hostess?
Ringdings. Yeah, like it's Drake's, I think. Drake's ringdings.
Drake's cake. Like, Seinfeld episode.
30 years ago.
There is an episode about Drake's
remember?
Cake.
Remember Kramer? I like ringdings. Remember at the dinner party they wanted to bring ringdings and Pepsi?
Yeah. Fact.
Yep. They did.
All right. We are going to talk some more football today, not just wedding. I don't know how we got on that tangent, but that was just...
it was Pete's fault.
Was it?
No, because I was saying how,
the pastor and the rabbi... The pastor and rabbi got interrupted for wedding
planning. They told me a lot of times they do services together. They do, you know, dual religions, and it's great. But they both of them had several calls to take during the round.
Wow.
Brief.
Staying busy.
Brief, to the point, yeah. They're both good. They both got very well. It was a good time.
All right, our phone number, whether it be football or wedding prep, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776.
$3 a cupcake? Whoa!
Whoa, now how big was your wedding? I had about 225 people.
200? That's a big one. You know a lot of people.
It was, my mother-in-law knows a lot of people, and, you know, that kind of thing. Big families on both sides.
That must have been fun when you guys were doing the seating chart. That must have been a barrel of laughs.
Was not involved in that process.
Always a conflict.
I don't know.
This one doesn't like that one. Or has an issue with that one. And this one is that one.
Yeah, Jeremy slept with Katie's cousin last year, so we can't put them at the same table.
That's getting into the minutia.
I had some fun stories at my wedding.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Like, is it worthy of the next segment, or are we going to keep that off the air?
Well, no, it's out there. We got to go with it now.
Yeah, now we got to go with it, but I got to take a break.
I don't know if I can say it on air, to be honest with you.
Because it gets somebody in trouble? Or can we change the names?
Yeah, all I'll say is somebody of a certain sexual orientation went another way the night of my wedding. It was shocking to everybody. Shocking.
Did they go the conventional way, or did they try something way?
No, she went back to the conventional way.
Went back with a guy on your wedding night.
It was the most memorable story from my wedding.
How did everybody find out about it? That's kind of like a private, nobody's business deal.
It should have been.
And yet everybody knows about it.
Golf carts don't have doors, all I can say.
Wow. Breaking news.
Man, I want to hear more about that.
I need to take a break from that. We'll come back. I think we're going to talk about Nick Bosa when we come back, but I'm not sure. Sheeman and Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN, online at 99.3ESPN.com. Sheeman and Shepherd.
I'm Craig Sheeman, along with Pete Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN. We've got Adam Schefter coming up later on today for our weekly Tuesday visit.
He's going to break down the NBA for us.
He can't do that.
He's going to at the end.
He does do that for ESPN. He moonlights as an NBA insider. The NBA season starts tonight.
Yeah,
I don't know that many people know that.
We'll get one prediction from him at the end, who he thinks is going to win it. And it can't be Golden State.
All right. That sounds like a good plan. We'll do that. I've got some prize packages to give away. And don't forget, you and I are playing poker at the Naples-Fort Myers Greyhound Track tonight at Bonita Springs, 7 o'clock. Everybody come out there. $100 if you knock us out. I mean, on the table. Don't literally knock me out. I don't need any pain.
No.
All right. Nick Bosa is probably going to be a top three pick in the NFL draft from Ohio State.
Yes.
Was injured, I believe, in the TCU game because I was watching it. Had like a abdominal hernia sort of inner core injury, needed surgery. And everybody assumed he would come back maybe late in the season, maybe for the Michigan game, maybe for the postseason. They got the playoffs, whatnot. He has decided to withdraw from Ohio State and said, nope. There's no really need for me to come back for a game or two. I'm going to get ready for the draft and withdrawing from school. And I'm going to tell you right now, I got no problem with that. And that's probably the smart move. And that's probably the same move I would encourage him to do if he were asking my advice. There's too much to lose.
There's way too much to lose. I think the trend, unless you're playing in the college football playoff, we've seen it now the last couple of years. I think you're going to see more and more kids after the final regular season game. They're not playing in any of these bowl games anymore.
This is excessive, though, right?
Well, he's pretty much injured for almost the rest of the year.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's any guarantee he could come back for the Michigan game, but there was a likelihood he could come back by December and get ready for their two bowl games, right? If they're in the playoffs.
Which
they probably are.
They're going to be favored in every game moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I know the Michigan game is still lingering out there, and that's going to be tough, and they still got to play Michigan State, right? I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, Denzel Ward skipped last year's.
But I don't know that he would be able to come back from this core injury for the regular season. So you're asking him to come back for one and maybe two playoff games. Which, okay, we used to just say bowl games, but now...
Yeah, it's more than likely going to be a playoff game.
See, now when kids used to sit out the bowl games, I would say more power to them. But then I always added, unless it was for a national championship or something.
Right.
That's Chris's point.
And that's what he's doing here I have no problem when Christian McCaffrey says, I can't go for the Sun Bowl.
Right.
Okay, Christian, get yourself right. Good luck in the NFL.
Yep.
Be sure to donate when you get all your money.
Right.
But this is middle of the season.
Yeah.
It's a distraction to the team now. At least this week, going into the Purdue game, it is.
It's just Purdue.
Right. But I...
Hey, they had to hang on and beat Minnesota.
And I think that this is what a lot of people were afraid of when players started to sit out the bowl games that didn't have any real meaning.
What happens when...
If Tua gets through the first half of next year...
Yeah.
And... I don't know, breaks a finger.
Yeah. What's going to happen?
Pulls a groin, whatever.
Yeah.
At what point does he say, I'm a lock for a top five pick. You know what, Nick, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, thanks a lot for all you've done, but I got to look out for myself.
Will there be a point if an athlete says going into their junior year, I'm just going to sit out the whole year and pull a Le'Veon Bell and say, I don't want to hurt my body.
Okay,
I'm going to sit out.
All right, but then what does that mean? Do they take away the scholarship? And in which case, are you even officially enrolled at the school anymore?
Probably not.
And if that's the case, you'll probably say, okay, fine, I'll sit out the rest of my junior year or whatever, my senior year, and I'll just work out on my own, and I'll take my chances.
But if you're projected to be a top five pick, it's worth it.
That's what I mean.
If you're going to be a six-round pick and you're talking about missing the Sun Bowl, that's a lot different scenario.
No, I totally get it.
There was talk of Clowney doing it his final year at South Carolina, right?
Right, yeah.
Because remember, the last hit he had his sophomore year at South Carolina, maybe not the last hit, but the last game he played, was that hit on the Michigan running back where it knocked his helmet off
right.
in the
was a bowl game.
Citrus Bowl?
Yeah.
Whatever it was.
Yeah.
One of the Florida Bowls.
Right.
The average SEC against an average Big Ten school.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the hottest name in college football at that point. He's a defensive end.
Yeah.
He came out. He didn't have a great year. He still got drafted number one overall.
Mm-hmm.
So, it, you know.
And he held his breath on every play to make sure he didn't get hurt, and had a Lloyd's of London insurance policy as well. Let's get some reaction for some of our listeners on this at 239-337-ESPN. Keith in the Cape. You want to talk about this with Sheeman and Shepherd. How are you, Keith?
Hey, Keith.
Great, guys. Enjoy the show.
Thank you,
thanks,
sir.
Man.
Hey, Ohio State misses him both up pretty bad, and our remaining games are all tough except Nebraska. Starting with Purdue, you know, Purdue's lost three games, but it's lost their three games by a combined total of 8 points.
No, now, I know. Well, let me ask you this, though. And last week, if you're a Buckeye fan, I'm presuming, right?
Yeah, I'm presuming.
You're a Buckeye fan, right? So last week, Minnesota's offense is ranked 110th in the country. They're 102nd in passing, 91st in rushing. Yet, it kind of came down really like to the last 10, 11 minutes of the game. Now, I don't put a lot of stock in that stuff because I know a lot of teams play down to the level of competition. But are you concerned at all about the Buckeyes going into this game against Purdue, which I think is a much better team, better offense?
Yeah, I am concerned because we only play good in the second half this year. For some reason, our first half is terrible every game, and it's going to hurt us bad soon if we don't change that. And talking about Bosa, I can almost guarantee you where he's going to end up.
Okay.
The Las Vegas Raiders are going to find a way to get him.
Well, who's going to be coaching the Raiders then? Who's going to be coaching the Raiders then? It won't be John Gruden.
I think he's going to lose the rest of his games this year and hopefully get somebody to replace Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
That's going to be Bosa.
Yeah, could be. Thanks, Keith. Good prediction. Let's go to Chris in the Cape. You're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Hi, hi, Chris. How are you?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's up?
So, Pete, my boys won. We dominated Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You didn't win. You clobbered them. Absolutely kicked the crap out. And now I must say, only because I want massive chaos for the college football playoff committee. I want Michigan to win out. I want Notre Dame to win out. I want Texas to win out. I want LSU to win out. I want those four teams to win out and create absolute mayhem for the college football playoff committee because I want expansion now.
This is how I look at it. I look at the team right now. They had Northwestern. They struggled a little bit. I think that was their game. They kind of woke up and said, all right, let's, you know, we got to get together again and just roll through. And I think this team is getting hot at the perfect time. Harbaugh usually doesn't do too good going into these rivalry games. I think next weekend we're going to go into Lansing. We're going to put a beating on them. And then Penn State comes into town after a bye week, which will be good. We get all healthy players back. And then Ohio State's been struggling. Like, you know, everybody's been talking about in the first half. I don't think they're a number two team in the country right now.
You were all afraid about a letdown this week against the Michigan State, played really well, beat the mini upset against Penn State. I don't think it was a major upset, but a mini upset. I mean, this is their Super Bowl, Chris. This is Michigan State Super Bowl. They're going to go all out here. Michigan's going to have to be at the top of their game and probably their second most hostile environment they're going to play in all year besides
that
when they take
defense,
on. I mean, it's going to be a hell of a game. I don't think this is a cakewalk for Michigan by any means.
No, I don't believe that. I just believe that defense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, did you see it versus Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah. They're absolutely.
Pretty good. Keep calling in, Chris.
Watch number 19, Quipe, went to my high school. He's making some big-time tackles for the Wolverines.
Keep banging the drums because now Pete's chained. Now he's rooting for Michigan.
Well, I'm rooting for chaos.
I know you are. I agree with that sentiment.
I still think they're going to lose. I think they're going to lose. If we have them on the board this
Michigan week, has to go 1-4 to meet your five-loss projection that you had
summer. By the way, my final four predictions.
Yeah, still intact?
They're still looking pretty good.
I was thinking about that promo that we ran.
I got Bama, Clemson, Michigan, and Ohio State.
What did I have?
Because
I had Michigan in there.
I had Bama, Clemson, Georgia, and Michigan State. That's what I had.
Yep, and Craig had Bama, Georgia, Michigan, Clemson.
So Georgia screwed me. Other than that, I'm still intact.
Yep.
Darn it, Georgia.
Although, I guess if Georgia wins the SEC, they're going. But then Alabama wouldn't, so it's...
They might. If that's Alabama's only loss. Here we go again on that conversation.
Oh, gosh.
All right, we're just scratching the surface here. It is bringing the chaos.
That all works its way.
And by the way, one more correction: you said that Michigan's toughest road atmosphere against Michigan State. Don't forget, they're going to Memorial Coliseum.
Which one?
Memorial Stadium in Bloomington, Indiana.
No, they're not.
On the 17th.
No, IU goes to the Big House.
No, I'm looking at their schedule right here.
I'm looking at it right here. Oh, I was wrong.
Yeah.
No.
I'm looking at it right here, 11-17, Michigan at Indiana.
I'm looking at it right here, 11-17, Michigan versus Indiana.
Well, this is whacked.
Wiggity,
well, wait,
wiggity,
Michigan
wiggity,
versus
whack.
Indiana, this is the second team.
No,
missing.
Okay,
the home team.
Indiana at Michigan.
Is I've that got what it says?
Yes.
Well, this is just messed up. What am I looking
one
at?
That's why
here.
I keep my schedules right here at my fingertips.
All right, where's it got Michigan, Ohio State?
Hold on 1 second. It's got it at Ohio State.
See, this one had. What is going on with this?
Michigan, you're looking at last year's schedule.
No, I'm not.
You're going to the Big House. Indiana's going to the Big House.
Right. I told you.
I'm looking at this year's schedule. Michigan 38, Wisconsin 13.
At MSU, Michigan, then home against Penn State, then at Rutgers, and home against Indiana, then at Ohio State.
All right, never mind. That pretty much crushed my point. South Street coming up next. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
About you.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I think this is serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sound Street brought to you by Optimal Male Performance. Go to 993ESPN.com and complete the Optimal Male Performance questionnaire and get $2,400 off your visit. Start off with baseball on the Brewers 4-0 win over the Dodgers last night in the NLCS. Orlando Arcia, the 2-run home run to make it 4-0 in the 7th inning on FS1.
Arcia hits one into right, back at the wall, this ball is gone. Home run the opposite way by Arcia to double the lead. It's 4-0 Milwaukee.
Earlier in the game in the 4th inning, Manny Machado had a bit of an illegal slide inside the bag at second base. Craig Counsell talked about it afterward.
Well, the next time he did try to complete it, we made a throw to first, and Machado was past the bag on the slide. And so we checked it immediately, and our guys in the replay room did a nice job being aggressive with the call.
Meanwhile, on the other side, Dave Roberts, looking at the goose egg on the scoreboard, says the Dodgers have to come up with some hits with runners in scoring position.
I thought we had the right guys in those moments, and we just didn't execute. So I think we were 0-for-10 with runners in scoring position. And, you know, one part of it is creating scoring opportunities. We had a second and third, one out. We had a leadoff double, and we couldn't push them across. So, in games like this, things like that get exploited. And so I definitely don't think it's the personnel. It's just a matter of when we get in those spots, we got to find a way to be productive.
Left a couple on in the 9th.
Brewers became the first visiting team to pitch a postseason shutout at Dodger Stadium since the Phillies in game one of the 83 NLCS. I think that was Steve Carlton back then.
Good stat.
Yep.
Like that. On to the other game I was flipping back and forth, the Packers and the 49ers. Mason Crosby, who basically was a Detroit Lion last week by missing all those field goals, comes in and hits the game winner from 27 yards out to help the Packers win 33-30. Here's the call on WTMJ.
Mason Crosby, 29, 39, and 51-yard kicks tonight. This will be a 27-yard field goal attempt off the left hash mark. Hunter Bradley the snap. J.K. Scott down on one knee. Arm extended. Here it is. Placement made. Kick is up. It is good.
Mason Crosby
delivers the dagger. 1 week after his worst day ever, he delivers the dagger tonight. And the Packers win 33-30. 27-yard field goal. Mason Crosby.
Pipe down, color man.
Exactly.
Pipe down.
As a play-by-play aficionado, the color guy ruined a game-winning call again.
Well, I'd rather have him just scream a little bit underneath. If you're going to do that, just go, do that.
Or just do what Jason Witten does.
Pull a rabbit out of your head.
Don't talk. Joe tested it happened like 4 times last night. He leaves it open, and Jason just...
He grunts.
Nothing.
Yep. Nothing.
They'll go, yep.
He got hammered on social media because he's talking about Aaron Rodgers pulling a rabbit out of his head instead of out of his hat. I mean, we all misspeak from time to time.
But who pulls a rabbit out of their head?
Nobody. You pull one out of your rear end.
Your rear end.
Or a hat.
Or a hat. Right.
But not your head.
Fact.
Watch this.
Oh, goodness. Aaron Rodgers afterward, not sure if this was a must win, but certainly was a big one.
Got the ball back down 7. Did you feel at all like there was more than just the game on the line there?
Well, I know what you're talking about, and I heard you ask the same question earlier, so I don't know if it was a season-saving win for us, but it definitely was an important one, especially with the prognosticating that'll go on about the type of opponent we have coming up the next few weeks, and obviously them being road games. This was an important game for us. I'd never like to use the term must win, but it was an important one.
All right, I want to hear this next comment by Richard Sherman, because I got one dialed up and ready to go right back at him if he's saying what I think he's saying. But Richard Sherman says, getting burned by the great Rodgers is just some more growing pains for the young Niners.
Yeah, it's part of the process, and it's part of going against the best quarterback in football. You know, you give him a chance at the end. I can't have that penalty on 4th and 19 and give him a shot, you know, regardless of you know, however, you know, I might feel about it. I got to find a way to win that play without getting the flag. And they gave him a shot. You know, they gave him a shot to win the game, and that's all he needs. You know, he can do it. He can do it.
All right. He owned up to the stupid-ass penalty he had late in the game. It was very dumb. It was a rookie mistake by a crafty veteran. But he owned up to it, so I cannot rip him. There you go. All right. Finally, John Mara, the owner of the Giants, talking about Odell Beckham Jr. Needs to talk less, quit making headlines off the field, and start making them on the field.
I wish he would create the headlines by his play on the field as opposed to what he says and does off the field. I think he needs to do a little more playing, a little less talking.
Last year you called the season an embarrassment. At 1-5, what's the feeling?
I'm still embarrassed being 1-5. I mean, I can't stand up here and make any excuses about that. You are what your record says you are, as a wise man once said, and nothing I can say to make people feel better about that. I'm suffering just as much as our fans are, probably more. But again, I have confidence that we have the right guys in the building to get it turned around.
There you go. When the owner starts calling it the way it is.
How about the poll question? Will Odell Beckham respond in a negative way towards those comments? And I think he's played hard. It's not like he's going out there and dogging it, by the way. I get what Mara's saying, but it's not like your guy's going out there and dogging it.
Yeah.
Because he's not. He's playing his butt off.
All right, we'll discuss this a little further when the owner's calling you out like this, the Odell Beckham Jr. situation. And more on your thoughts on Nick Bosa. Just mailing it in. Rest of the season, leaving the team, not going to play for Ohio State anymore, getting ready for the NFL draft. We'll talk about that some more. Sheeman and Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.